Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Why is it terrible, dude?
It's terrible that you took Ronnie to see Infinity Pool.
I subjected her to it.
I think so. Is this? It's terrible because, not that the movie's terrible, in my opinion, but it is definitely for an acquired taste. And you would have to be overlooking certain narrative, what someone could construe as shortcomings. Yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 380. This is Jorge.
Yeah, welcome to the Akbar Who Goes There podcast. This is Maddie Ding Dong.
It's a trap. You're going to Japan?
I am going to Japan. I'm back from Japan already by the time this comes out.
You've already gone to fucking...
I'm a literal time traveler, bro.
How was it?
It was dope. Okay, so yeah, let's see. I had a great time. I had a really awful time. I met so many women and came back with no diseases.
I didn't meet anyone.
I met so many women and came back with so many diseases. I met no women and somehow came back with a disease.
Why would you come back with diseases? Just because it's a
foreign
country?
From using my... penis and things that have not been adequately vested.
You know, Japan occupied China in the early 20th century. Even though Japan's this tiny little fucking island, it went over there all fucking hardcore and occupied that bitch. And so the Chinese, you know, they came over and they're like, this is for all the chicks back in Shanghai.
I too have occupied Chinese and Japanese.
So stupid. So anywho, yeah, your trip's coming up, huh?
Yeah, pretty excited. I leave in 5 days. Doesn't feel real. And I have this weird like sensation that I'm forgetting something in terms of like going over there. But all of the prerequisite shit's filled out. I got my vax card and my passport and my rail pass and all that great shit. We've got our Airbnbs.
You guys going to be doing any capsule hotels?
No, you know what? I've always wanted to do them, and I hear they're kind of just a waste of fucking money because, like, tourists just want to do them. Like, I just wanted to do it to be able to take a nap in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the day. But, like, apparently tourists are just apparently. Like, oh, so, you know, I want to go do this capsule hotel, and it's, like, $50 for, like, 2 or 3 hours, and I'm not going to do that. But we're doing this.
It's spring over there right now, right?
I think so. Yeah, because the cherry blossoms go at, like, late March, so it might be, like, late winter, early spring. We're going to do 3 different wrestling shows, a deathmatch show, a women's wrestling show, and New Japan Pro Wrestling. We may or may not go to Universal Studios Osaka and do their Super Nintendo World. We're going to that Muscle Mommy bar, which is going to be super cool. I'm excited for that. I'm looking for a concert to go to. There's this band called Alia, and I might go because it'd be fun to see Alia in Japan.
Sorry.
Then there was another band called My Hair Is Bad that was pretty fun.
That's you, dude.
And my hair is great. Your hair is bad.
Oh, yeah. Even when it's bald, it's still, look at it.
And then still bad. One OK Rock, but all those shows are super expensive. But
what do you mean your hair is still bad? What's wrong
I
with
you?
You
shaved this bitch.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's too grown out.
It's unkempt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Once a week is not enough. Sorry.
No.
Go on.
No, that's it. So pretty excited for the trip.
Dope.
Going to eat a bunch of food.
And find the most defiled piece of thing you can bring back.
I'm trying. It wasn't easy last time, man. Like the porn stores that are on like the like 4 or 5 story porn stores, those are pretty dope, but they don't have like anything really weird. Like
as weird as you can find.
There's weird videos, but like I want like weird shit. I want to find a really weird band too. Like,
I would, dude, if you could find the bondage fucking little figurines.
I was looking everywhere for those.
That would be it.
I think that's like a very niche thing. Like,
why don't you go see Boris in Japan, dude?
Dude, if I could find a show, like I was looking, I was like anything that's like punk or ska or hardcore or metal or noise or anything just fun. Like I'm fucking down. And I haven't seen a whole lot of stuff coming up.
Speaking of which, do you guys actually want to go see Otokobe Beaver?
Yes.
We should go see them when you get back.
It depends on when that is, but I think it was in line.
I think it's March 13th.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm totally down. They sounded better than I thought, too.
Hell yeah.
What about you, little homie?
I forgot to tell you, I got a raise again.
That's good.
Well, I know some. It's a $3 raise.
Woo! Jesus.
That shit adds up.
It does. Yeah.
And it kind of came out of nowhere. I'm like, damn, bitch. You're making me want to stay at this company.
That's where they get you. It's just enough to where you're like, well, if I leave, I've lost all this.
It's like I can no longer imagine life without this.
Great. Yeah, right. That's wonderful. Being able to pay my bills.
Fuck. Assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually got to ask for one this week, so we'll see how that goes.
Must be nice. I can't even ask for one.
Really?
Goddamn unions.
Oh.
It's not merit based.
I'm looking forward to this month. Because on the 19th, we're going to go. So, hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
And I are going to go to Super Nintendo World at Universal Studios, which is going to be dope. Mm-hmm. And then that week, JPEG Mafia and...
That's just wild.
Clipping.
That's fucking dumb.
Announced a free show in LA at this fucking crazy park, art park thing.
So dumb.
And, you know, I'm like, well, there's no way there's going to be tickets. But sure enough, you go there and you sign up for a thing and they sent to NFT. So Sophia got one too. And then I talked to our listener, Donovan.
I got one hoping that I'll be able to go.
Did you?
Yeah.
That would be cool, man.
It would be cool.
I mean, I've been wanting to see Clipping for like 3 years now. It's not like I've been following them for 10 years or something, you know. And it's like, well, that saves a couple $100.
Yep.
And with JPEG Mafia, that's fucking
silly.
Dude.
Yeah.
And so that's the same week. And then it's cool the next day, because, you know, I'm in the Rotary thing. But get this. This guy, me, is going to be helping Sophia judge elementary school children for their speech contest.
I'd figure they wouldn't let you anywhere near children. And also,
that's Uncle Creepy.
Had they listened to this podcast, they would understand that you don't even know how to pronounce most words. How are you going to judge a speech?
Incorrect. I don't know how to pronounce four words.
It's true.
Which four are those?
He's got you there. Egregious,
Coven,
and that's
Outlier.
Oh, Outlier.
And Noir. Noir.
I'm surprised you remember him.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well, fuck, you gotta learn.
Well, you mispronounce them and I use them incorrectly. So we're like, you know,
I would much rather mispronounce them.
We're
because that
you
means
know,
you're just an idiot.
Wonder Team.
You're like, stop insulting me and Wonder Team me. Sorry about that. And then what else is going on? Oh, that freaking thing I did that it looks like I'm gonna go to the Oscars. I'm gonna watch the Oscars.
Okay.
It's gonna be dope. As the same thing I did a few months ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they asked, and I was like, well, I don't want to like, do this.
As you're, you know, pull my leg.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to like do it over and over again, but I do want to fucking go to the Oscars. And then it occurred, and then I was still on the fence. And I'm like, hold up, JC's going to be there.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck Jesus Christ.
John Cusack.
James Cameron. John Carpenter.
John Cusack.
No, I mean, that guy's going to be there.
Joan Crawford.
A fucking Spielbergo. And I mean,
what's he going to be there for?
For fucking the Fablemans. I still haven't seen that. I'm kind of not interested, which isn't like a real cinephile thing to say.
Yeah.
But
what? Speaking of cinephile stuff, what's the preview that was before the film we watched today for?
Is it Anus Man?
No, the bomb one.
No, not the bomb one.
Did you see that shit? How to fucking
bomb a pipeline?
Bomb a pipeline?
Yes,
dude.
That one, but not that one. The
radicalize me, arrest me now.
The one you're talking about,
Anus Man.
Anus Mine.
He saw that at the festival.
No, so I didn't. But it was at Telluride, and that was the one where Jacob Sever, as soon as he walked in, was like, oh, it's in 3:4 aspect ratio, and it's blah, blah. I love it instantly.
But he hated it, right?
No, I think Hans thought it was boring, but I thought it looked dope. I don't remember who liked it or who didn't, but Jacob, from what I remember, had a boner.
Siever liked it. Everyone else hated it, which is what he said, which wasn't accurate, as usual. Coop didn't. He thought it was okay. So already what Jacob said is false. So you were wrong.
As per usual.
As usual. You just, everyone, you speak for everyone, make grand sweeping statements. Idiot!
We never do that.
Exactly.
Well, I always qualify with myself.
Yeah. I never always do do things like that.
Always never.
Hans thought it was boring. In any case, it looks like it's very much intentionally like an early 70s British horror movie.
It looked cool to me. I was like, damn, I kind of want to watch this. And then I saw it was Anus Men, and I was like, I think I'm supposed to hate that.
Penis Men.
Penis Mine.
So that's coming out. Skinamarink is now on Shudder, so that's going to be controversial. Where
speaking
that goes.
Of controversial, are you guys going to keep your Netflix?
I'm glomming off of somebody else, so it all depends on that.
I think I'm going to cancel mine.
I'm keeping Netflix, and one reason why
is because share?
No. Fuck that. No, I'm just kidding. Nope. No, I would share, I guess, if you could get me to respond.
I mean, I pay. I pay, but I share it with Alia and Alia's mom, but I don't ever watch it.
There isn't a whole lot of content on Netflix. I think that if the person who I share a password with cancels, I'll have to get it for the kids because they watch a bunch of shit on Netflix.
Well, and then like when I'm saying that, they come out with something like, you know, a couple years ago, Squid Game, or like brand new cherry flavor. And then the one of the things I wanted to mention I watched recently, it's one of the nominees for Best Picture, that All Quiet on the Western Front movie. The German one.
Okay.
It's World War I, and it's from the German perspective. But that's not really the point. It's like the human perspective. And also, this is World War I, so it's not like Nazis. It's Germany and fucking France fighting each other. And this is the first time it does a fantastic job of showing horrifically how this is the first time it's trench warfare, there's chemical warfare, there's tanks, and there's aerial warfare. And these fucking kids sign up to go to war. I mean, it's nothing.
You just get blown to hell.
Well, they have no fucking clue, and what they're seeing, they've never seen before. Flamethrowers weren't in the play before.
Yeah, that was the first time you saw instances of shell shock in war, and you see these videos of these literal children with this 1,000-yard stare after being fucking concussed by a bomb, and it's like it's worse than anything any horror film could.
It
conjure
really,
up.
It, dude, and it does a good job of feeling like a horror movie. And for a minute, I'm like, have these war movies lost the plot? Are they just trying to top each other with how fucked up they're showing? But no, that's really not the issue. And what it really shows too is the futility of it, because these dudes, like, this war is supposedly over territory. In 4 years, the fucking line barely moved.
Yep.
So they were it was 17 million people over 4 years, just fucking bloodbathing it.
For literally nothing.
Dude, they're fighting brutally to the fucking death, and they blow a whistle and say it's over, and they just walk off.
Yep.
They stop right in the middle of about to kill each other.
Yeah, it's the same tone that I think if you're watching Chernobyl like that.
It's like that.
Where you obviously like a nuclear disaster is like, you know, it's horrific, right? Like in terms of, but when you really start to see the individual battles that people are having,
the crispy skin
and all that shit, like, you know, it will, and particularly war, like the mustard gas stuff, and
yeah, like if you've watched a war movie and wondered why, I saw a guy got run over by a tank, but how come I'm not seeing like the guy's body get mangled under the tank? This will show you. And it's fucked. And it was like, that's why I'm mentioning on this horror show. It's 2.5 hours, and it has these interludes that they're dramatic, you know, and it serves a purpose. And then it has these little things where something fucked up happens, and then you hear birds chirping because it reminds you, like, the rest of nature is just like, okay.
Just continuing on,
I don't know what the fuck you guys are up to.
Damn.
But 1917 came out a couple years ago, and that movie, it's 1917 starts with a dude like asleep under a tree, and we follow this guy, and it's really well done. It has great fucking cinematography and great direction. And it ends, though, it bookends it with him. He survived and is falling asleep under a tree. This one does not end that way. This one is about...
There's no falling asleep under a tree.
There is no, like, the boys come home. Like, no, nobody comes. People don't come home like this. And it's like, we don't get enough of that.
Well, at 17 million, your odds aren't very...
That's right. And that's what it's showing. It's like, as harrowing as something like Saving Private Ryan is and was when it came out, we still get, Private Ryan got saved. Like, no, Private Ryan usually does not get saved.
Yeah.
Everyone's fucked. So, yeah. Highly recommend that movie, and I'm glad it got nominated because it's pretty fucking bleak, dude. And that's on Netflix. And so, like, yeah, I'm keeping Netflix as long as they release one of those every 4 months.
Yeah, I mean, there, it's not, I will say about the whole Netflix thing, it's not very, like, browsable anymore. Like, you don't...
Fuck no.
For now, I'm looking specifically for stuff that's come out.
Yeah, it's all the newly recommended, new releases, recommended for you, and it's like, well, why can't you just show me something that I actually want to see? Yeah. Like, instead of just cramming all this shit down my throat.
Even the horror content on Netflix has been so... so shitty as of late. Like, I know everybody really fucking loved Wednesday, this show and all that. I'm so
it's all well and good, but for them to keep raising their prices and for it to be like $16 right now for me to get one show a month that I may or may, because I go like months without watching anything on Netflix, and then it's like, oh, there's a new season of Bake Off, and so I'll watch that, or like,
right,
the new season of You is coming out,
and it's not like they make it the process easy to like cancel and then re-up. It's you gotta,
yeah, you go through a whole thing, and then and I'm like, well, whatever, man, like, you know, there's plenty of ways to watch other stuff online, and there's not really a whole lot I watch on Netflix anyways. The only problem is going to be when there's going to be some like new thing like Squid Game or some new horror movie that
it's going to make me go back to piracy, I think.
Dude, 100%. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I pay $16 a month for Netflix, and I could pay like, I think, $90 for the year and get access to Rapid Gator where I could just download everything directly. And then it's just like much quicker. And
the Who Goes There podcast is not necessarily a
no. This is all hypothetical.
Rapid Gator.
Yeah,
I've never pirated because I don't know how, and I'm an idiot.
You're not a criminal.
That being said, even though it's not for ethical reasons, federal government, you do not have to worry about me doing it because I'm too stupid.
Yeah, download a car.
Well, anytime, truthfully, anytime I need something that's like silly, and I don't want to pay for it, I'll just ask Bo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the internet has everything. I heard there was supposed to be some crackdown on the, what was it, like Soap Today or something, like some streaming site. And like they were supposed to start arresting people that actually use it. But like you go on Google or like DuckDuckGo or Bing and you just like type in this movie stream for free online. And it's like, here's 100 sites that'll let you stream that thing for free. Which is cool because sometimes you want to watch a movie and it's not available on Amazon or Hulu.
Just get yourself a VPN and all your worries go away.
Supposedly Netflix is cracking down on VPN users too.
Stupid.
As they should.
Fuck that.
What, dude?
You fucking bootlicking bitch.
I thought you were all about capitalism, dude.
No, I'm all about
the base.
Not that.
That base.
Yeah. You're no treble.
You're all about fucking Fauci now, huh?
Fauci? You, dude. Nah, dude. Fauci's a fraud, dude.
Wow.
Dude. Right. Yeah. I agree, dude. No. I'm not talking about Fauci right now. Where is he, dude?
Where is he?
Did you step down, dude?
He did.
He's in the same place as Weinstein, dude.
What?
Hiding with Biden. That rhymes. It'd be rhyming.
So, all that aside, that guy fucking sucks, right?
Who?
Biden.
Yeah, sure.
The guy is fucking hilarious.
They're all terrible.
It is hilarious. I understand better than Trump. That doesn't mean it's good. It's fucking hilarious.
He has actually been a fairly effective president in terms of stuff that he's passed, but he's a fucking buffoon. I think like that's the biggest problem is that outwardly he's a buffoon.
Dude, I would not trust him to cook macaroni in the kitchen.
Like, too many steps.
Too many steps. Like,
he would burn water.
You got the milk. You got the butter. There's water. There's
you got
pot.
The butter and the milk and the pudding.
It's too dangerous, dude. I'm not talking about ideology.
You
here.
Put it in the pot. You got fucking that squishy sound.
What is that?
What is what?
Put the macaroni in the pot.
That's some wet ass pussy. That's what that is.
Dude. What else? What did you watch?
Nothing. Nothing anybody want to hear about. We watched Shrinking, which was decent. Jason Segel doing Jason Segel things. Harrison
Shrinking
Ford.
This dick.
Shrinking this dick, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Got you now, dude. Got me, dude. What did I rewatch?
We're still not allowed to talk about Last of Us. Because damn.
Episode 3, if you're watching. So, again, for listeners, the idea is we're not going to talk Last of Us until it's all done so we can do an episode on it. But episode 3 was one for the ages, I think.
From what I hear, the original cut is over 2 hours and made the director cry till it hurt.
I cannot. I know we're not talking about it, but can I say how much I love idiots being mad about this episode on the internet? Yeah. It makes me...
And it is idiotic.
It's a little sweet little morsel.
Morsels.
I love it. Be mad, idiot.
Well, and also, these are ostensibly people who played the game, and I haven't played the game, but I understand... Apparently, these individuals are in the game, and it says that he had a partner.
One is dead, one's still alive. But right, yeah.
And it says he has a partner, and it's inferred that his partner, that they were partners.
Was a fucking dude.
So, like, you know, also, maybe when there's a fucking apocalyptic zombie holocaust situation, all that shit doesn't matter as much.
Nah, dude, it matters, dude.
Maybe you can drop this shit a little bit.
You know
bit?
What, dude? These colors don't bleed, dude.
Jesus.
Bro, I ugly cried hard.
Normalized hard. Libertarian butt fucking.
In any regard.
Well, and you'd think they'd be all for
be
it.
Be it gay or otherwise.
Since they're libertarians, they don't want seatbelts, but you're not allowed to butt fuck a dude? Come on.
That's exactly.
Get serious.
Silly business. Get some help.
Get some fucking help.
Get some help. Get some dick.
Put on your fucking seatbelt and suck this dick. That's a better flag than don't tread on me.
Put on your seatbelt and suck this dick.
Just a dick with a seatbelt across it.
You can take the seatbelt off if it helps you suck this dick better. When we're parked.
That's
the only when we're parked and safe.
We're being safe.
I don't want to play safe. I don't want to blow you if we're not parked and safe.
We don't need a condom, but this car is stationary.
We just hemorrhaged 2 more casual listeners in Oklahoma right now. They said, fuck, that's too far. That's the last one.
Casual gay sex? Nah, not on my podcast.
Seatbelts? Dick suck?
Did that dude just say Fauci? Shit.
He did say Fauci's a fraud, though, so.
He did say.
I'm confused.
That one guy's pretty good.
That one guy's pretty cool. He's worth $1.
Yeah.
You can tell he was the one who really didn't like that episode. He was just going along with it.
Speaking of dollar.
Yeah. Give us $1 or more by going to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. You get to hear all the really weird shit that we talk about before we start the show. And you also get to go to the Discord, which is. Sometimes a plus, I think. But you get to help us do the show and pay our bills and all that fun stuff. And we'll give you exclusive content, bonus episodes, and all that other great shit in return. So go do that. Tax season's coming up. We know you got money coming. So give us some of it, bitch. Well, that's only if you don't give us some of your money.
It's the it's the collective bitch.
Yeah,
it's
not, it's the royal bitch.
You know what, dude? I pick a side. You're for the Patreon.
You would. You pick the right side.
Whoa! Not what you're thinking. No, you pick the right side. You want the money.
I pick the right side. The people, you pick the wrong side. You pick the right side.
I want to give the people free shit. So, fuck the Patreon. To the listeners who aren't Patreon, thank you. Patreon, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah. There you go.
Now that's how you get Patreon.
Yeah, so if you want the free shit from Rhett, go to our Discord and Rhett will upload his own reviews twice a week.
Bullshit.
Oh, I thought you wanted free stuff?
No, the free stuff is the show without paying for it.
They got to pay to get on the Patreon. So it's to get on the Discord.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. So you get it for free, but not really.
And why are there tears? You know, like what's up with that?
Why are there tears, dude? Because Matt's sad all the time, brother.
Yeah, the Titanic, dude.
I'm a sad boy. Sad boy emo is coming back.
Speaking of sad boy emo, the Who Goes There podcast watched 2023's Infinity Pool, directed by Brandon Cronenberg, also written by that feller, starring. Alexander Skarsgård, Mia Goth, Cleopatra Coleman, Dunja Sepkick, Adam Bonks. Bonks? Adam Bonks? Bonks? Jaleel Lespert, Zijad Grasic, Amar Bukvic, and a bunch of other Croatian people that you probably don't know.
Bukvic.
The IMDb synopsis is as such. James and M. Foster are enjoying an all-inclusive beach vacation in a fictional island of Latolka when a fatal accident exposes the revolt, the resort's perverse subculture of hedonistic tourism, reckless violence, and surreal horrors. It's going to be strategic. Rhett? What do you think of Infinity Pool, though, homie?
He just answered
you. I farted before, which means too that's early. Not what I think of
Yeah, Infinity right. Pool. It was
that's
too early.
That's what you think.
He knew it was coming.
So, you see what shirt I have on, dude? You know what this is from, dude?
Yeah.
It's from Videodrome, dude. That means I have to like this movie, dude.
Yeah.
No. I don't have to, but I do. I do like the movie. Do I like it as much as I thought I would? And is it everything I hoped it would be? No. That being said, I think Brandon Cronenberg remains great with atmosphere. I think, look, again, like I loved Pearl. I love what Mia Goth did in Pearl. I think she's completely fucking unhinged in this movie. And I know her voice goes super high and she has no eyebrows and
Okay.
That's
the
thing.
She does mostly that. Doesn't have
okay,
eyebrows.
That's,
she
does that. I thought so.
And that's, look, I know this is going to be hit and miss with some people, but I'm all about her doing more of these unhinged fucking performances. She's in like the heel phase of her career where she's just playing these fucking over the top roles. And Skarsgård is a capable, handsome dude with a magnificent butt chin that they show in profile up close because
over and over again
because body horror, and he is willing to go to places that a lot of handsome actors like himself really are not, and he gets fucking really raw on a few scenes here. So I'm all about those two lead performances. I think the atmosphere is great. I like the concepts, and I don't just like the socio-political one about the rich.
You know what they say about the rich.
You know what they say about the rich. They have no consequences for their actions. As long as they fucking have money, they can keep doing the same thing over and over again in an infinite loop. And they're depraved as fuck and have to keep pushing the boundaries. You know what they say about the young. But I also like what the movie says and does with consciousness, which is a fucking... If David Cronenberg is about the body and the deterioration of that, I think his son with Possessor and this seems a little more fixated on the malleability of consciousness and how it slips through your fingers when you try to put a finger on it, because you can't really hold on to it once you start trying to isolate it. And narratively, I think the movie is a little slower. It's a little slower than I would have liked. I think the most uncomfortable moments come at the beginning of the first procedure they show, and after that, actually, some of the tension is actually relieved for the second half when things become increasingly surreal. I love these fucking surreal nightmare sequences. However, it's a lot of strobe effects and stuff I've kind of seen before, which is it's effective.
Every Joe Bigos movie.
Well, it's effective to a point, and I think it's well done. The music was great. It's by a dude named
Your mom.
My mom, and her name is Tim Hecker. My mom is a Canadian musician. And atmospheric ambient albums are his thing.
Clearly.
Mine too, dude.
And I think the movie has a lot to say conceptually, and those things are its highest merits, more so than its narrative, obviously, structure. And that's what I'll say.
Okay, that's good.
And you hate it.
I, by stark contrast, I fucking love this movie, dude.
What?
So, here's. Are you showing me? Trying to show me your balls, dude?
Yeah, sorry. It was my ball sack had a sweat mark on the chair. And now you get the.
Wait. Now you're getting the whole thing. You're getting the whole hog now.
I never know with you either.
So I really, really, really enjoyed this film. I think that when we talk about movies that have good sound design and good art direction and good atmosphere and a location as a character, so on and so forth. It's hitting all of those marks. There are times that the movie goes a little bit silly and, you know, it's showing us all of its cards all in one go? Yes.
For sure.
But I think everyone in this film is doing a fantastic job. Mia Goth has not outstayed her welcome yet.
And you didn't see Pearl yet.
I haven't seen Pearl. That's coming up. Is it on streaming?
I don't think not yet.
Okay,
just
so
to rent.
I'll rent it. I just have to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, for her performance alone.
Mia Goth going full unhinged in this film is a fucking treat because you know that's not her normal voice, so you know she's really, really, really
going into the high
register. Escalating the performance. So I super appreciate that. I think Skarsgård in all of his roles in this film, be it the dog, be it, you know, Clone 1, Clone 2.
Beating the shit out of himself.
Is incredible. And this does... What's the movie we watched? Speak No Evil?
Yeah.
This does the thing
that
Speak No Evil, for me, tried to do and failed.
Interesting.
I think that this speaks more about inhumanization and demasculation to a more succinct and more nuanced way, because it's not just about being demasculine, like or like
just being rich.
Yeah, there's some stuff going on here, and yeah, the title's a little bit trite and it's a little bit goofy. What the actual?
I like the title.
But man, I the music is great, soundtrack is great.
Yeah,
cinematography is fantastic. I really really like this film. Like
Zen moment.
It's super fun. Despite the subject matter and despite like what's going on, I really, really enjoyed it. Matthew?
I disagree with everything you guys said. I thought the movie summed up my feelings on the movie perfectly when they said, I feel like it has nothing to say and it lacks the words to say it. And you wonder if this movie didn't get made because of the director's famous father.
And that's why he has a character saying that on a card.
Well, I know. I felt that about this movie. And it's funny that you mentioned See No Evil because I thought this did the same thing as See No Evil.
Speak No Evil.
Speak No Evil, but not as well. I was like, oh, I see it, but I feel like it was better executed in that. I really just couldn't care. I feel like this movie did a lot of and then, and not a lot of but therefore. Because like I was trying to just
fuck.
I was trying. So narratively, when you want to tell a story,
I was following, but
narratively, when you want to tell a story, you want to follow a but therefore format. So the main character wants to achieve something, but something happens, therefore they do this. But this happens, therefore they do this. And when you do this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. This movie felt like a bunch of and then this happens.
And meandering futility and nihilism.
Correct. I didn't even get the nihilism. I just felt like this was
meandering futility.
I felt like this was stuff that I'd seen done on a lot of other movies, and I feel like for me, as somebody who doesn't get into a whole lot of existential stuff, this movie is largely ineffective. I knew right away this movie was going to be for somebody like Rhett because I'm like, well, instantly, as soon as they brought up the idea of the first clone, I'm like, how much you want to bet it's going to come down to, do you ever wonder if it was you or the clone, dude? And then that becomes this thing. And they they keep reintroducing that idea. And like me, I'm like, I don't care which one is the thing, because if I'm the clone still has your memories programmed into it. So ultimately, what does it matter?
That's kind of the question.
Well, that's the thing. For me, I don't care about those things. So I feel like the thing that the movie was hinging on is lost on me.
So
that's fine. And I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying like, I don't
where
care.
Where I would counter you a little bit on this is like, I think the idea that they have perfected cloning is silly. Right?
Yeah. That's why they don't even explain it.
Well, they haven't even really perfected it because he said that it usually takes a few tries.
What I mean is that like, there's no telling how, you know, when you've got two clones. There's no telling which one is or if one of them is deranged or not. Yeah. That's what's
there's no original text.
That's what's cool about it, because like you're basically making a Xerox of a copy of an email, and it's like, at what point do these things become so unhinged and so detached from their own humanity that it becomes about nihilism.
Yeah, but ultimately he was detached from his own humanity, because after he saw himself die, he knew that he could get away with murdering people, and he wanted to stay anyway. He hid his own passport.
What it does for me, and that's what I think was actually conceptually the best and most unsettling conceit of the film, is when I knew it was going to introduce, who knows if you're the real one or not, right? The whole real one narrative.
He's a real one.
There is no real one. And that's not just because of clones. It's because of, there's, again... So if we're not talking about the body, we're talking about his memories, right? You're talking about consciousness, in other words. Mm-hmm. It's non-physical. So this is body horror guy. It's the son of body horror guy. Yep. And the sound design, like Jorge mentioned, is so good. We hear cum hit rocks and it's delicious, right? Anyway, yum, 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 yum. I wish we'd seen the full cock like they show in the NC-17 version, but... You know what they say about the MPAA?
Well,
you know,
they show his cock in the NC-17?
They sure do.
They show it coming.
Really?
Yeah, that's
I would have seen horror. That would have done something.
Of course it would have.
They showed that old guy's weird cock where it looked like he had a cock growing out of a fat vagina.
But yeah, so you have these, this very clinical, kind of austere.
That's a word I don't know.
Well, it's very stark imagery, and it's clinical, and it's kind of cold emotionally. And there's body horror elements, but it's circling around a very fucking abstract concept.
Well, it's consciousness. What's weird about it is it takes the idea of body horror and removes the body from it.
Exactly,
which is a really cool concept.
It's because a good inversion.
When you're dealing with, I mean, obviously, you know, you had the promotion for this movie that was really based around those masks and whatnot, which ended
up... Those are cool as shit.
Right,
I didn't
right.
see those in the previews.
But you were kind of like going into it thinking like, okay, people are going to turn into fucking grotesque monsters. But when it comes down to it, and I hate to fucking... We were the monsters all along, dude.
Well, yeah, it's about...
And I love that exploration of that instance and that little slice of, you know, who we are as people. Because yeah, man,
that culturally, like it shows, it cuts, well, for one, it shows it's a fictional place, right? And that is cool world building kind of stuff there. It's kind of, and it reminded me of course of his dad with his like world building and shit, like Naked Lunch, which is based on a book, but also in like Existence, he has this, even his stuff like Crimes of the Future, which you guys didn't like, he had this lo-fi, low-budget world-building aspects to it, and so David, he's inherited that.
I think where Brandon Cronenberg does it better is I really like films that deal with absurd things in an otherwise normal environment.
Subdued.
So way. Like I,
crime, oh, I see what you're saying.
Crimes of the Future. Yeah.
That's so what, I mean, that's
that whole film through and through is like, okay, well, this shit is weird from the get.
Yeah, there's nothing to ground it really.
This movie is super grounded, and
I see what you're saying.
I will also say too, I think that there is some fucky shit going on from moment one. I think
that's the next. But yeah, because the dialogue is weird. Who's at the window?
It's super fucking weird. And also, he's, you know, she's talking about him saying stuff that he's awake and asking, where are we? And it's like, what the, like, it's very strange.
Very circular.
Very strange.
No, because you know, pointed out to me with Sophia, she brought it back up after the movie were in the car and everything. She brought up the opening scene, and I had kind of like not registered it at that point. And then it's like, yeah, that dialogue is weird. And, you know, that's presumably Mia Goth standing at the window, unless it was supposed to be M.
Right.
But we can't really tell. And I think, again, this is part of the thematic thing. You can't really tell who's who.
Yeah.
Because that's the point. You can't really tell who's
who. Well, yeah, because you could like mince it to death, right? You could be like, well, he's a clone from the beginning. And he, you know, he...
Or this is a next year and this is nonlinear. He comes back there.
Exactly.
And they're spending a new time.
And he's together. Already been married. And no, and it's like when she, you know, when Mia Goth is telling him, like, I've waited 6 years, you're like, every year?
Right.
That's kind of the feeling that I got was like, this isn't his first rodeo.
It's kind of like, you know, MC Escher, like the stairway that folds in on itself. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that structurally. And that's when it really happens for me. And I'm sorry I didn't do that for you, Matt, was when they all go back there, they get arrested, and then they're all in the pod together, but they have like the fucking...
the robes or whatever.
The robes on, which is supposed to be a signifier, right?
That they're after their post-surgery or whatever.
Yeah, these are the clones. However, we don't know that either. We don't know who's what. All we know is they'd carry the... The only reason we would presumably know that is because of the memories. But like, what if they put them to sleep and switch the clothes? We wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Like, and so it means about like your perception is completely unreliable. And I did love the scene of him watching himself getting killed the initial time. And like Skarsgård does a great job selling that scene with the smile.
That subtle little smile, yeah.
Because it suggests to me, I know some of you don't care about, if there's like some kind of transcendent consciousness that animates all life, this is what it's doing.
Yeah.
It's looking at itself die over and over again.
It's vicarious, dude.
Well, even the idea that, you know, Skarsgård's character, like when the first time he's cloned, right?
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out like who, you know, if you're like, oh, is he the clone? Is the guy up on the fucking pole the clone? What's really interesting is they don't do any of that stupid thing that you would expect. We're like, I'm the original one. I'm not the clone. They don't do that. They're just like, he's begging for help because he knows inevitably he's going to die.
Right. And absolutely. It doesn't matter because the urge is the urge.
Yep.
Because that's not even like the identity. That's just like the organism. Just,
yep.
Right. It has nothing to do with like, who am I? It's like, no, you have, that's a built-in thing of an organism.
It would be too much to process at that time when all you want to do is survive. Like, right. you're not trying to explain yourself out of an execution at that point.
Right.
There's no way.
That's the physical nervous system responding, not the notion of identity.
Where do you get lost in this film? Like, where is it?
I don't get lost anywhere.
I'm not trying to be like, you didn't get it. I just mean like, at what point does it lose you?
He didn't like the beginning.
It was the beginning is what I did like. Like, I realized at the 30-minute mark was when I was already bored because I looked at my phone. I was like, holy fuck, it's only been 30 minutes.
You're like an hour and a half more,
so, like,
baby.
The beginning I was actually kind of into because I thought she did a good job of cucking him, like making him look and feel.
He said it.
Making him feel like insignificant, you know? It's like, he's a struggling writer. Like, I'm almost a charitable case at this point. Like, she kept saying all these, like,
wife M.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. She kept saying all these little things that really kind of emasculated him and made him, like, appear to be just this kind of fucking loser. And then she even says, like, oh, my dad hated him and said never marry an author. So I married the first broke author. So I'm like, okay, well, they're doing character development here. They're setting up the fact that, like, he feels like not wanted in his relationship. He feels less than. So when Mia Goth got introduced and then, like, she starts jerking him off and all that, I'm like, okay.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I can see where this is going. And then it's just... Then it just shit for me. Like, once they introduced the whole, like, we can do clones, and then I'm like, oh, okay, like, he's going to be like, I feel like a prisoner now, and now that I've seen myself die, and I've killed a person, I know that now I can live, and I can be free, and I can break out of this shell, and they toy with that in this movie where they're like, you have to take back the power, show them that you're the most powerful, and I'm just, I don't fucking care. Like, and then aside from...
Well, they don't give you any normal reasons to care about the character.
Well, exactly.
Which I'm expecting from this kind of thing.
Aside from that little bit of Skarsgård, you know, and feeling like he, you know, maybe doesn't feel like he's wanted in his relationship, I feel like none of the other characters were really fleshed out at all. And I found it hard to root for or against any of them.
So this is the thing, though, because if in this scenario, if they're copies of a copy of a copy of a copy, or if that's happened, they wouldn't be fleshed out. They're just like, they're only there to revel in like their most depraved shit, and they have no consequences. So they wouldn't really have many dimensions to them other than that.
You see, I don't know. To me, it doesn't read that way. To me, it just reads like, oh, they're just fucking rich people who realize they can kill and they want to do it now. And
that's what I think. If you're not into the conceptual bent of this movie, it's not one that's narratively engaging if you're not into the conceptual bent.
Yeah.
Right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a character study. It's an anti-character study in a sense because the self is deteriorating, like it's breaking down. Like,
you've basically got these. I mean, and who's to say they're even rich? But you've got these people that have like, they have blended themselves into insanity, and
or transcendence, dude.
See, but I mean, you keep talking about the copy of a copy of a copy, but like that's assuming that they're not the originals anymore. But the clones are the ones that go on.
I don't think it matters. It doesn't matter. What it would do to the psyche is it creates that scenario. Like, well, dude, there was a great scene where he's beating the fuck out of the person with the mask on the ground. Mm-hmm. And again, like, Skarsgård goes fucking hard in that scene. Like, those are scenes where I get super giddy.
Felt a little cagey for me.
It felt fucking dope for me. And then they take the mask off.
It feels
off.
Like Mia Goth is jacking me off, dude. Yeah,
and they take the mask off, and it's him, right? And I took that on a few different levels. One is the obvious one, like, see, you're beating the shit out of yourself here. Now do you feel different? Because they're trying to confront him with the horror of it. Like, you could do it until you know it's you. But then again, if you peel back the mask, and if there is a collective consciousness, dude, that is you. Anyone you're beating is you, dude. And that it hit me on that level because I've done a lot of acid. Yeah, see,
that
level,
I don't exist on that level. I don't vibrate on that frequency.
You do, but you're playing the most dangerous game where you're so far out you don't even like relate to the original self, bro.
I'm interstellar, bro.
Brother, you are brother. So immersed in Maya. It's a Hindu term, which means illusion, bro, that your views...
I want to talk too about, you know, despite this being like a Cronenberg film from any of them, it's super, super subdued in terms of like, well, you know, you could really go there with the body horror stuff. Like he could have shown, you know, fucked up clones and
it's true.
I thought he was gonna.
Well, he kind of leaves.
He
it.
Did That's, show the weird, like leaky nipples.
It's more psychological.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I think that the subtlety and the sort of like, you know, the holding back a little bit because, yeah, man, the moments that you do get, you know, those little bits that Mia Goth's face is actually starting to turn a little bit in those like trippy dream sequences, like that stuff is really, really effective.
And I love the music right there too. It had this pulse like... Dun, dun, dun. I'm like, okay.
You're like, dun, dun, dun.
This theater's horny right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Deftones is playing.
did you get horny during that part, dude?
No. I didn't get horny during any of these parts.
That shit's a mistake.
The hottest part was when they
broke into that dude's erection in the theater.
No, but when they broke into that dude's his place and that chick was riding him before we saw his weird fucking penis.
He had none dick.
That's what's great because we didn't see weird clones or fucked up clones.
We just saw regular bodies.
We saw this poor guy who had
beef curtains with a baby dick in the middle.
That's what we want.
Is it? I was thinking
piss flaps with a baby dick.
I was thinking we were going to see Skarsdong, and that's kind of what I was on board for.
Well, if you got it, you'll see the NC-17
Alexander
cut.
Alexander Skarsdong.
Yeah, I want to see his actual dong shooting.
I would say he's got a good piece.
It's fucking crazy. I have to ask either of you this at this point, if you ask me, given the circumstances. But did either of you see The Northman yet?
No,
I have not.
He is on a fucking roll. Like, The Northman, he got... Besides, his acting is fantastic in it. And it's fucking, you know, Robert Eggers. And he is great in it. He is so fucking yoked out in that movie, dude. Like, the difference between him character-wise and composure-wise in that film and this, and that those are the films he did back-to-back. And he, you know, he worked with Robert Eggers and then Brandon Cronenberg. Him and Mia Goth are both, like, on a fucking tear right now. So, that's... You know, I'd still hope that you guys watch The Northman.
I'll watch it for sure.
You know, because Come on, man.
Man, can that family be any more fucking talented? The Skarsgårds? My God.
I don't know what's up with them, dude.
Orange mocha frappuccinos, you know what they say, dude.
About the Skarsgårds. You got Stellan.
Fuck Stellan, dude.
No, he's good, dude.
He's in Dune, dude.
He is in Dune.
That's me. That's me.
That's you. Are you Stellan Skarsgård?
Stellan like a villain.
So, yeah, the orgy / montage. It's great because time falls apart in that scene, right? It's almost like a montage. Like,
Am I seeing one night here
or several weeks slammed together with hallucinogens? You know, get this schlong away from me,
dude. And even those moments where, like, in that orgy where you see Mia Goth's husband like sucking on Alexander Skarsgård's toes and like getting up on, like, I'm like, dude, I'm kind of in.
Well, because they don't, they're over that.
Yeah,
they're over. It's like so over that. Like, yeah, we're past that. And then I think the restraint you mentioned is important because it does, I think Brandon understands intuitively, the viewer tends to fill in the rest of the thing outside of the frame. What you leave off the screen is filled in already outside of the frame.
Mm-hmm.
Get your fucking...
Why did you Google us there?
Because I want to make sure I used it properly.
You should ask George.
Strict in manner, attitude, or appearance. Yes. I think it is an austere film. It's
you were good.
It's very like...
You were austere adjacent.
It's like it's grabbing your nutsack. But that's the thing. There's tension, and then the clones happen, and the tension releases, and it gets surreal. Which I'm... The more I talk about it, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Maybe I was just afraid of having to defend myself from both of you. This movie's a perfect tent. No, just kidding.
It's not perfect. I would never.
Very okay.
I would never. Well, that's. I mean, that's,
there you go.
That's better than where you started.
I'm still indifferent.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't not recommend it. I won't watch it again.
I would not recommend. You're in some strange fucking paradox.
You would be like, should I watch Infinity Pool? I'd be like,
that sounds like Infinity Pool right there. I wouldn't recommend it. I would not recommend it.
Should I watch Infinity Pool if you want to?
That is the most milquetoast fucking recommendation.
Dude, it's not even milquetoast. It's like it's an impossible fucking phrase. You wouldn't recommend it. You would not recommend it.
Hey, would you watch this movie?
I wouldn't recommend or not recommend it. That's your answer?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fucking lost. Not only would the person not know whether they should or not, they would also probably be bewildered about their life at that
point. Well, that would make me want to watch it, dude. Like, somebody is like, well, I'm not going to tell you not to watch it, but I can't recommend it.
Yeah. There you go.
Perfect. Oh. Okay.
That's fucked, man.
Because I honestly expected you to be a little more critical of it.
Well, I am.
I thought it was going to be a lot more.
I am critical of it. I think there's stuff that isn't, you know, isn't perfect. But I think that thematically, and dude, these motherfuckers, everybody's putting on a fucking show, and in a good way.
Pretty, yeah.
It needs more Edward Furlong.
No. We don't need any Edward Furlong.
Yes, we do.
The bus scene.
It could use some Corey Feldman too.
When she's like, people of the bus, like that whole thing. That's what I mean. This is a regular line. Like, it's a regular ass line, but she fucking like went
hard. She went hard.
She went fucking hard that scene. And then it has her, which this feels very un-David Cronenbergian. It feels almost like David Lynch. She's on the fucking car and the guy's in front of the car, right? And she's on the hood of the car telling him, reading the review, and she has a bucket of chicken there.
Just eating.
And then she like drops her wine, which was a great thing. She's like, oh, my wine!
And that scene in particular
it
produced one of the best moments of the whole film when she tells him, I've never even read your book. And that's the thing that gets him. He turns around and is like, what the fuck?
Because
his whole thing was ego, destroyed.
Yeah, man. Then it's finally destroyed.
Yeah.
Not the cloning, not the wife death. Thing, not the death.
It's when she didn't read his fucking book. Well, it's
because
that's fucking but a
it's
really great point.
It's because of everything else. It's because he didn't feel appreciated by his wife. It's because he felt like nobody read his book. So he finally got the validation that he'd been seeking.
Yeah.
And that's part of, I think, what made it so easy for him to fall in line with them. It's just...
Well, and then it's like, when you talk
he
about...
He felt accepted. He felt important to them. Like, they saw him as something that his wife never would.
Where I was left with it, too, like, motivation-wise, what's her motivation to awaken him, right? Well, if you've gone there, presumably, who knows how many fucking times, and you've done this who knows how many fucking times... What would get you off? You'd have to awaken someone to get off because...
Well, she said, but it was just to frame him. Like, she said they were laughing at him the whole time.
That's what I'm saying. So that's another form of them, like, because they're so fucking jaded by the entire experience. They're so desensitized. They have to keep pushing the boundary. And, but then the thing is, her waking him up to himself or lack of self, like, you know, like the fucking Zen experience is not a moral experience. It has to do with like an emptiness of fucking of thought. He gets there. Like he like when he goes to the fucking airport and he sees all these fucking just little like,
normal things happening.
Yeah, yeah, people on the noise. It's like he's like the Grinch on the mountain, like all the noise. No, he wants to go back to his cave above Whoville.
Me
and,
too.
And just fucking sit there and he's in the rain. And I get he's like, nah, like I'm good. Like I don't want any more of this shit. But it leaves him in this fucking like limbo, like he's an empty shell.
Well, right, because he realizes that at the end of the day, with if he goes down the current path, he's just gotta go back to his wife. And it's like, well, that's not gonna work.
That's not gonna work because I'm too fucking the moment of clarity has occurred. Like this is a fraud. It's completely fraudulent. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not going to work anymore. And that's not a moral reckoning so much as it's reality. Like, this is not going to... I can't live like this anymore.
I can't live.
But then it was fucking cool to me, too, like, how they're all on the bus and they're just, like, regular talk. Just
ending the day.
Because you guys remember Pig. The guy,
the guy's
doing one? All that fucked up shit, and then he just gets on the plane and starts calling people, and he's gonna go back to his regular life. Like he's purged. There's an element of the purge type thing here too. He's purged all that shit, and they did a similar thing. They went there to this fucking place and purged all their base impulses, you know. And then they just get back on the bus, and she's talking about the mundanities of doing housework, you know.
But that was done on a bunch of like they did that on The Hunt. They've done that on a bunch of movies where it's just like rich people getting together to hunt other people and then they just act like nothing happened.
That's right.
They kind of do that shit in Battle Royale too, but they do it better.
I'm not saying it's never been done. That's why I fucking brought up other examples, which I wasn't expecting in this movie though. I didn't like because I'm like wondering how's this going to wrap up? It's going to wrap up with them going home. How do you think it's going to wrap up? I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they can't stay past the rainy season, so like they've got to go home.
Yeah, so we got a timeline on this shit. And then, like, I don't know, man. That like, it's not a huge budget movie, but the sets, you know, like the fucking prison they're in and all that. And, mm-hmm. like, the brutalism of the architecture, all that kind of stuff. Like, Jorge mentioned the cinematography.
Well, and I also, like, you know, I haven't even talked about it, but, like, the retrofuturism that they have in this film is also really fucking cool.
Good call.
Like, they have this, you know, they have this technology that's able to clone people with Kool-Aid. Seemingly, you know, one-to-one copy.
Yeah.
And nobody knows about it. It's like, oh, yeah, it's just the tourism thing. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
it's to entertain rich people.
I'm fucking in.
Right.
Love it.
Well, that's weird. And I am kind of with Matt on this, like, because I don't know if you'll love that or you're going to think it's fucking stupid when I get here because it's just too... But I think you appreciate... Correct me if I'm wrong. They don't even try to explain it.
They're just like, it's a bucket of goo.
Like, why? And I think it's a good image. The bucket of goo. And also when they put like the fucking thing in his mouth, like they do at the dentist.
Dude, if I was him, that would be my profile picture on everything.
That shit, that was the most unnerving part of the entire movie to me. Because also I didn't know how bad it was going to get. And that's fucking, that's impressive though. Because it's very simple. But it's very unique.
Well, it also does that thing where it takes something that you're super familiar with and contorts it just enough to make it unsettling.
Right, and then it has, like, this tile in the background, which is, like, totally, like, It looks like Croatian fucking low budget tile.
Yeah, it's just an innocuous thing.
Yeah, it's not like high tech. Yeah. It's not super designed. Yeah. And then you got his like darting fucking panicky eyes with his fucking skeleton face.
The tone
which reminds you like we're all skeletons. We're all meat skeletons.
The tone I got was that all that stuff leading up to him going into the goo bath was they were just making fun of him at that point. Like that's kind of like their thing. Like why does he need the mouth thing and why does he need the fucking
make it look like a procedure?
Right. So it's all just dehumanizing, and I really appreciate that stuff. Like do like this. Why?
Well, and you know what? He is, again, just like his dad, though. He is using a bizarre circumstance to hold up a mirror to the arbitrariness of stuff we do.
We do.
For example, like it cuts back to the resort and they make a big thing about the Chinese food and, you know, all the cultures are represented, right? But it's these imitations of the
super
cultures.
Super racist fucking right. restaurant. There's a that's Bollywood fantastic.
Fucking thing going on.
Yeah.
And Bollywood is, so it's several layers deep here. Because consciousness does it, but it does it with cultures too. So India likes Hollywood, so they got Bollywood. So at this resort, they have fake Indians doing Bollywood.
Yeah.
So
it's too much.
We've got several layers of fakeness here.
It's good, man.
So I think that's fucking dope.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge fan.
Holy shit.
Okay, don't be so surprised.
I'm a little surprised.
Don't be so surprised.
So you prefer this movie much more than, like, say, Possessor.
Yeah.
I thought Possessor was way
yeah,
better.
Because I think...
Would it prompt you to rewatch Possessor, maybe, and try to get something different out of it?
I think my issue with Possessor is the same thing I kind of have with Crimes of the Future, is that, like, if everything's weird, then nothing is. I like films that...
I thought it was pretty grounded.
Even Antiviral, it's a bizarre little film, right? But at the end of the day, it's people wanting designer diseases, and I can kind of get on board with that. But you know, you start me off, and it's too bizarre to sort of like grip onto.
Yeah.
This did it fucking perfectly, at least in my opinion.
Nice. You mentioned Speak No Evil earlier, Matt. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Jorge, you think this does what that was trying to do better. Matt, you were saying you felt like Speak No Evil does it better.
Yeah.
I actually, regardless of liking this movie quite a bit and loving some parts of it, I do think, well, it's, you know, it's not a surprise given where I placed it on our thing for last year's movies. No, I think Speak No Evil does it incredibly well to me because it's not dealing with any sci-fi premise. It's not dealing with any...
It's far more real.
Well, and it's not a group secret society cult feeling versus like
which
a
all couple. That shit is dope, but it doesn't have to rely on that. It has to rely on just these awkward ass fucking
right.
Human
but
moments.
I mean they both rely on, you know, feelings of acceptance and the need to be wanted. But I feel like, you know, being in a relationship and finding another couple that you can gel with is a lot more feasible than finding like a group of rich people on vacation that you gel with.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I think the fact that it's
more accessible,
you know, like you're saying, it doesn't have the sci-fi element. So it's a little bit more steeped in reality.
But the couple was the entry point.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, in this respect, yes. But then they did have a cult, but the other Speak No Evil didn't have that aspect. It wound up just being
another film I throw out there. And Sophia actually brought it up again. And it's one of my favorite movies in the genre. And one of my favorites of this century is Funny Games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is probably the pinnacle of.
Well, I think in Speak No Evil, you don't get it because they're not expanding the universe out. But there's clearly some other stuff going on in Speak No Evil. Like yeah. They've got a ring of children that they've clearly kidnapped. So, I mean,
it is a little outlandish, but it's like, okay, but it's not sci-fi, but it's outlandish.
I get that like having a group of rich people, you know, cloning themselves over and over again just to kill people is a little bit over the top, but by the time we get there, you've already conceded the fact that there's, you know, there's a shit-ass city or this shit-ass country that has managed to fucking clone people and
with fucked up pipes.
It's like, okay, well, I'm in already. Whereas a film like Speak No Evil has me doubting its existence from the get, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't fucking like any of this because none of this feels.
But what about Speak No Evil when it goes
exactly, dude?
That's dope. That's
what about pipes, though, dude? Give me the pipes.
You want to see those fucked up pipes?
I want to see the pipes.
I literally, I'm like, if he brings up the pipes and starts bitching about how stupid it is, I'm gonna
give me the pipes.
What do you mean the pipes? What am I missing with the pipes?
He missed when the, they're driving he missed through the pipes, countryside, dude.
And it's showing like the local areas. They had all these like pipes, and they're like these shapes that are very like impractical and odd, and they're very like, you know,
which I'm sure are for something.
Well, either that or they were just built like. That's what I mean. Would you be mad if they weren't there and they had, and like he had them designed to look that way for no reason?
Oh, you mean like Cronenberg's like, you know what, dude, I need some pipes.
Like if make it's part a, of the make production
them,
design.
Make them curvy and fucked up.
Yeah.
Would I be mad if they
see,
weren't
there? See,
that's
what there? I think happened here.
See, what would happen is they were a fan of those straws that are like going around your cup.
Oh, the really silly cues. Straws.
See? Yeah. So they're like, we want our turds to do that.
It's exactly right.
We want that, but.
For poops.
For poop.
Why not? We do it for a straw.
Yeah. They call them loop. They call them loop-de-poops.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's part of it. Is like I like the natural landscape of wherever they're it's Croatia is right. Where they're filming. I know where they're filming.
Little things too make it feel very grounded and immersive too, like you said, like the license plate and how the language looks and the signage. Like that's enough. Like, I don't need a bunch of, like, CGI landscapes.
Yep.
That's really what fucking... That's kind of what Hollywood would do with this kind of thing. Like, imagine Hollywood getting a hold of this and then Hollywoodizing the fuck out of it. You get what I right. mean? And you'd have, like, some fucking, like...
They'd have a shootout at the fucking station.
And his clones and all this stuff and the CGI.
Oh, they'd get together as buddies and be like...
They team up. And the CGI yeah. and all this fucking shit would happen. It's true. Wow. See, Matt, that's what you want. You want that
the
version.
The American version?
No, you don't. You don't want any version, I don't think.
No. I was fine.
You know
I
what
was,
you want?
I was fine without it.
You want M3GAN.
I do want M3GAN.
That's fucking baffling, man.
I started baffling. Watching M3GAN again today to get the taste of this movie out of my mouth.
Oh, my God. You know what? You can tell you're really into
it hasn't happened
you're really
yet.
Into horror.
It huh? hasn't happened yet because clearly I'm late with releasing the episode. But, man, when you motherfuckers hear about this guy's opinions on M3GAN.
Well, by this point, they will have already.
That's what but I haven't heard it. Oh, so
it's like Infinity Loop.
Yeah.
That's dope.
I just Infinity pulled myself.
Infinity Red's loop. Been infinity pooing his shorts the whole episode.
Hey, did you see I got teeth?
You've had teeth.
Right.
Yeah, well, you had a temp. Yeah, I saw.
You know what they say about the young.
What are we watching next week, gentlemen?
Nothing, because I'll be in Japan.
Japan Matt is going to be gone. He's going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, and then we're going to start Japan Month?
Japan Month. And so we
or
need
Japan
to figure out
episodes.
Japan month or Japan episodes. Yeah. I say we, you know, we can discuss. We're going to do a slate of 4 Japanese horror films. If we want to each pick one, and I was, you know, there's anime to consider.
Mm-hmm. Akira, oh, we're watching Tetsuo, Akira.
Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Pulse.
Ninja Scroll for Patreon, maybe.
What is Hans forcing us to watch this
I don't
month?
Know.
He wanted us to watch Gremlins.
He did want us to watch Gremlins.
And I was like, let's fucking do Gremlins back to back with this.
I could talk about Gremlins right now. I watched it 2 weeks ago.
I'm like, Gremlins is a mistake.
No, it's
not. No, the movie's not a mistake, but doing an episode on it is.
Wow.
Nah.
That's wild.
We could come at it a different way.
All right, idiots. Well, that's Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 380. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Red. This is Ree. Wait, this is trash.
Trash? I'm retarded?
I'm trash?
This is a lack of ego, or what is it?
Oh, the only thing that prevents me from signing autographs at a convention is my lack of ego, which also made this post and asked for people to encourage me to sign autographs at a convention.
This is Jorge's... overinflated sense of self-worth signing off.
This is Matt's complete lack of interest signing off.
Damn, Fight Club and stuff. This is
Ree.
This is. That's it.
That's it. You know what they say about
drop.
The is.
Ooh. That's,
I am that I am.
I am that I am.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow.
nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world.